You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 13th, 2021, President Biden speaking now. He is targeting new election bills in states across the nation that they say, they claim, will erect new barriers to voting. Also challenging Supreme Court decisions they claim have weakened federal tools to combat regressive voting laws. This is all part of a speech Biden is doing in Philadelphia. And according to the White House, he's going to lay out, quote, the moral case for voting rights amid what they are calling worrisome action on voting, slamming states like Georgia, Florida, Iowa, Montana, Kansas, Arkansas. They're all introducing new voting bills to create, they say, barriers to balloting. Jen Psaki says, the president will redouble his commitment to using every tool to fight and protect the fundamental right of Americans to vote against the onslaught of voter suppression laws. They consider voter suppression laws, of course, being that you had to prove you are who you are to vote, and you have to live where you say you do, and you do have to be registered. That's all suppressive, right? But to that extent, we, of course, have this group of Texas Democrat senators that fled the state. They said, you know what? Governor Abbott, the Republican, called for a special session. We would just leave the state. Their idea being, you're not going to have a quorum. You can't do it. Well, Governor Abbott said two things. One, I can call a special session at any point, so I would just do it again. And two, once they step back into the state, they will be arrested, brought back to the Capitol. We will be conducting business. They did the same thing 17 years ago. Still stupid. But you got Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat of Minnesota, praising these Democrats, saying that's good that they fled the state doing what's right. They're trying to stand up for the freedom of people to vote. No, Amy. With all due respect, Senator Amy, if you're going to do what you can for the freedom of the people to vote, you'd be there voting. You don't like it, you can vote against it. But this is just like we say down south. These Democrats are like the middle of the road. Nothing in the middle of the road except a yellow stripe and dead possums. And, of course, down in Cuba, we continue to have, we don't know exactly how many have already been rounded up, maybe executed, but certainly jailed. One Catholic priest says he was beaten because he was participating in these demonstrations calling for freedom, freedom, freedom from the communist dictatorship, freedom from communism, freedom from socialism, many of them waving U.S. American flags. They recognize how valuable we have, what worth and value we have in this country. Unfortunately, many Americans in this country don't. In the meantime, New York Congresswoman AOC and three other House Democrats, all affiliated with the far-left Democratic Socialist of America, the DSA, AOC, Tlaib, Bowman, including Missouri Cori Bush, aren't saying anything. They have yet to speak out about the protest. Anything. They're not saying anything. Sanders is the only one that had. He broke a silence saying he urged the Cuban government to refrain from violence, but at the same time turned around and criticized the government. Oh, by the way, the FDA finally did. I told you yesterday it was coming. The FDA finally issued a warning for the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine. Say it's been linked to a serious, although rare, side effect, Guillain-Barré syndrome. K-12 students will not be allowed on school grounds if they don't wear masks, regardless of vaccination statuses in California. Speaking of California, as you heard on the news a moment ago, conservative radio host Larry Elder joining the race to replace incumbent Governor Gavin Newsom. Good. He would be great for that state. Oh, and among these Texans who fled the state, one of them posted a picture saying, "My first meal as a fugitive," showing a picture of a Caesar salad and Coke. Says delicious. He's mocking real fugitives who have little to eat. But the state-controlled media won't call him out.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Last year during the campaign, you said that it's unfair to simply say everything is bad in Cuba. Do you still share that sentiment now that the people there seem to be?
Well, I support throughout Latin America and in Cuba and every place else the right of people to protest for a decent economy and for political freedom.
Senator?
Well, it's interesting that Bernie says he supports the right of people to protest. You know who doesn't support that right? The Cuban communist dictatorship that Bernie also supports. Right now, the Cuban thugs are out there arresting protesters. They're throwing them in jail. They're clubbing them. They're beating them.
Those are the words of Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. The opening question, of course, went to Bernie Sanders, independent, but basically Democrat, socialist, Marxist, put all those around him. He fits all of them. Is, oh, yeah, I always support the people, the right of the people to get out and protest. He really doesn't, because as you heard Senator Cruz say, he's also giving support to the government because he likes their socialist, communist dictatorship. You can't be for both sides. I mean, this is one you can't be both sides. You either like living under a communist rule where they dictate everything to you, or you like where you can live in freedom, even if it's to despise the government and speak against the government. That is the founding of this nation. It's not the New York Times special project 1619 suggesting that our government, our country was founded simply to create slavery. That's an absolute lie. You go through any part of the Old Testament, you're probably going to find references to slavery at that point in the days of the Old Testament. And we've known for decades, generations before then, slaves were underway, and there's still slavery in some parts of the world, specifically North Korea, China, Cuba, and even among, let me put this as casually and I should say as cautiously as I can, in our country, because drug cartels are smuggling children, women across the border who are going to be either sold off as sex slaves to various groups or will be forced to perform sex for probably the majority of their years as long as they can take it, and they're of use before they kill them, trying to work off the money they had to pay to get into the country. So, yeah, it's still existing. But here you got Bernie Sanders saying, oh, I support. I pointed out in News and Commentary, in case you missed it, he is the only member so far of the Democrat, Socialist, Communist existing in our U.S. government Congress. Yes, you're right. We have New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We also have Michigan Congresswoman Tlaib, New York Congresswoman Bowman, I should say, a congressman, and then Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush. They all make up the four DSA members in Congress. Not one of them, not one, has said anything, not one peep about what's happening in Cuba. And apparently none of their offices are returning requests for interviews if it comes from an interview source that they think might get a little tough with them. Larry, you said they're all members of DSA. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. DSA, far left, Democrat Socialist of America. And Monday, the DSA International Committee declared, quote, its solidarity with the revolution. That's the term used by the communist regime. We're with the revolution in this time and moment of unrest. But you know what they also did? They echoed Cuba's president in blaming America's trade embargo for causing everyone to get upset. Well, that's the kind of the story we're getting from the White House. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, even though the Cuban protesters are out in the streets yelling freedom, they're not out there yelling COVID, they're yelling freedom. They're not even out there yelling bread, food, water. They're not even doing that. They said, just give us freedom. But the White House would have you believe they're all out there mainly because of Trump and his sanctions he put on Cuba, overturning Obama's open door policy. Our government still does not deny humanitarian aid going into Cuba, either on U.S. vessels or other vessels. But even the state-controlled media has to acknowledge that even if there were a ship just off the coast of Cuba, MSNBC Lawrence anchor Lawrence O'Donnell made that very clear. He said at least if Biden would park one of our mercy ships just off the shore of Havana so the people could see that it's there to help them, and then added, but then, of course, we had to wait for the dictator to allow the ship to dock. They're speaking out both sides of their mouth. You know that. I mean, if you ever want to look for a classic example of hypocrites, you go to this far-left Democrat crowd. And they're tainting and dragging down legitimate Democrats with legitimate concerns and issues because they dare not speak out. The mob will turn on them and eat their own. I had a story that Andrew Boots on the Ground sent me regarding that today. I Not sure I'll get that story in today, but that's what they do. And Senator Ted Cruz, when he talks about Bernie Sanders not really speaking the truth, he knows of what he speaks. And as Senator Cruz says, even though the people were in the streets doing this and yelling freedom, this should not come as a shock.
This is not new. For decades, the communist dictatorship in Cuba has committed murder, has committed torture, has committed incredible atrocities. And Dana, as you know, for me, this is not just a theoretical matter. My father was imprisoned and tortured by Batista, Castro's predecessor. My aunt, my tia Sonia, was imprisoned and tortured by Castro. So my family, like so many millions of other Cuban families, have seen the brutal oppression of communism firsthand.
And we don't know firsthand what's going on in Cuba right now because they've shut down the internet at last report. I'm sure some folks are still in Cuba trying to document it. I don't know when we're going to see it, if we are. And you got a geographically widespread nature of these protests taking place in at least six different parts of Cuba. In one, a Havana suburb, a crowd of hundreds congregated in front of an image of the Virgin Mary to pray for an end to the communist regime. They were not praying for an end to COVID. They were praying for an end to the communist regime. And at least one participant could be seen wearing an American flag shirt while praying. Pre-Castro Cuba was a majority Catholic nation, but under communism, that regime has outlawed most religious practices it cannot control. It regularly persecutes Christians who defy its authority. Fidel Castro sent non-Catholic Christians, primarily Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists, to labor camps, along, and listen up, you leftist idiots out there, listen up, you leftist idiots, hear this. Castro would send non-Catholic Christians to labor camps to work along suspected LGBT people. They are all listed as undesirables. One report came out yesterday of a Catholic priest, Father DeVesa, beaten. Another priest has simply disappeared. One did resurface in the custody of the Communist Party secret police. You think you stand for something in this country? And you think you are making a big show that if you turn your back on the national anthem, if you refuse to stand and honor the U.S. flag or our national anthem, you're entitled to do that in this country. We give you that freedom, and we don't kill you on the spot because others have died for you to have that freedom. I say you're abusing it. I say you're ignoring every price they paid. So we have some problems in the past, yes. But how many in this country are anxious to get out of the country and go to Cuba or North Korea or China? Now, Senator Cruz says in Cuba, they don't just offer platitudes. They don't just speak. Not in these recent protests. They're taking action. And they know there will be punitive reaction.
It's one thing to wave a flag here in the U.S. where you're not risking your life. There, they are literally risking imprisonment and death. And the American people stand with the people of Cuba. And I got to say, the Biden administration has been terrible on this. You know, they put out a statement saying this shows their right to peaceful assembly. No, it shows a communist dictatorship trying to silence their speech. Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration claims these protests are about COVID. They just want some more COVID shots. No, these protests, they are yelling libertad. They are yelling freedom in the streets. They're yelling down with the dictatorship.
That's what they're yelling in the streets. Not one word about COVID. Not even one word about food and water, which are also stretched thin in Cuba. But you're supposed to buy the Biden and leftist philosophy that Trump is to blame. Trump is to blame. The communist Castro have been in control 60 plus years, long before Trump emerged. This kind of control and dictatorship in Cuba, same thing happening in Venezuela, Nicaragua. And yet, despite the threat they face, these are brave men, women, and children in Cuba.
They are yelling libertad. They are yelling freedom in the streets. They're yelling down with the dictatorship, and they're waving American flags. What a beautiful symbol of freedom the American flag is across the globe. And yet Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can't seem to figure out why that freedom is important.
No, they just can't seem to figure it out, can they? We had in the last segment Jim Carafano, the Heritage Foundation. He wrote a piece for the Daily Signal along with Mike Gonzalez, and he said the people of Cuba are friends of the United States. They participate in our Revolutionary War, taking part under the Spanish flag in the battles of Baton Rouge and Pensacola. And Cuban Americans contribute every day to our success. Yes, they do. Coming up, Dr. Ben Carson on CRT.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I cannot buy into it because, first of all, I have tremendous faith in God. And what did he say? When you look in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And you know, think about that.
Think about that. Those are the words of Dr. Ben Carson, who, of course, had served as the Secretary of Health and Urban Department, Human Services and Health Department, I should say, Urban Development. When he was speaking this last weekend in Texas at the annual gathering of CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, he said, "I just cannot get into CRT. It's against everything I believe. It's against everything I see in the Bible. You want to simply equate people always, and you're going to judge them by their color. So to that extent, the first time you see someone that's a different color than you, you're passing judgment on them? Or you see someone of like color like you, and you pass judgment on them, and you might decide, well, that looks like a nice person. They have the same color skin as me. Until they stick a gun in your face and take everything you have. Well, how did that happen? I thought that we were all the same. I thought we're all together." Which again brings up where most of the crime is taken and where most murders are happening is in the communities of color that need more police and help, not less police. But again, Dr. Carson, who served as a HUD secretary, said, "You're going to reduce everything to color?"
Isn't that the same thing that Dr. Martin Luther King was talking about when he said people should be judged on the basis of their character and not on the color of their skin? Why would you judge somebody on the basis of something that they cannot control? Wouldn't it make more sense to talk about something that they do have control over, their character? Isn't that what we should be talking about in America?
Yeah, we should. but that would be logical, wouldn't it? There's the author of a new book called An Inconvenient Minority, The Attack on Asian American Excellence. His name is Kenny Zhu. He said, Asian Americans prove that critical race theory is not true, cannot be true. Asian Americans never needed politics to succeed in this country. They just wanted to be treated based on merit. He said, CRT is saying that we've been denied this opportunity. He said, if America is still systemically racist for minorities, how come so many Asian Americans overtake whites at the education level? And, of course, in Cuba, they're having a struggle to get out from under communism. And they indoctrinate in their schools, too. They teach them things, but they don't teach anything, as far as they're concerned, except communism. Listen to the words of a man who escaped from Cuba.
The books would change to build up the communist, to build up Fidel Castro. You know, that this was good, this is not good, and all that. And then every morning you had to go and salute the communist flag. And then sometimes there were days that we would go home and then go back to school again. Because that's where they train you.
That's where they train you. That's the words of Rafael Diaz, who fled Cuba with his family when he was 10 years old. I want you to hear more from him coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My name's Rafael Diaz. I've owned a few businesses here in this country. I have a hair salon now. I come from Cuba. I came here when I was right at almost 10 years old. My grandfather, very successful. He provided all the dairy for most of Cuba, like yogurts and the fruits and all that stuff, the ice creams. And he hired a lot of people, hit a lot of farms and stuff. They hated that he had what he had because he was a hard worker, so they want that. Everything you have, they want. The communists controlled everything.
Yes, they controlled everything in Cuba. The words of Rafael Diaz, that was a piece put together with music under it, as you can tell, by the Daily Signal. And they were doing a good storytelling with Diaz explaining things about Cuba that folks might suspect, might even know, or not know. And yes, we see some things that are trying to be replicated here as you listen to more of his story coming up shortly. He got out of Cuba at the age of 10. His family was able to get out. Now, you're going to hear him say later that what he saw when he landed, because they actually were able to get on a plane at that time, they were not being blocked from getting on a plane and leaving Cuba. He said when they got off that plane, they were just amazed as they looked around and they walked around and saw how things were in this country compared to what they had just left. I know he probably still deeply loves his country, Cuba, where he was born. He doesn't say that in the interview at any point or the piece where he's talking, but I know many who have become American citizens, but they were previously a member of the Soviet Union. They were from Ukraine, Bosnia, China, Korea. They still love that country, but they also are glad that they're here, not there, because here they had opportunity they didn't have elsewhere. Now, some of it was because, not because they were being repressed by the government, but they just didn't have the opportunities. And free enterprise is something that a lot of the world still does not have. Here you can start, believe this, think about this. You and a friend could go in your garage, clear everything out, bring in some tables, and start tinkering around until you develop something like a computer. And you could turn into a multi-billionaire. But in Cuba, if you were doing anything like that, they're going to get it. You're not going to get the billions of dollars. You know, Fidel Castro kept an iron fist over Cuba once he took it over. Now, keep in mind, in the 50s, they had numerous organizations, numerous armed uprisings in Cuba. And in 1956, Fidel and about 80 supporters boarded a yacht trying to start a coup against the Batista government. Not until 1958 that his movement emerged as the leading revolutionary leader in Cuba. And At that time, in that moment, the U.S. government initially reacted favorably. We liked it, the Cuban Revolution, because we thought it's really going to bring a sense of democracy to Latin America. No, it didn't. Because in short order, Cuba executed hundreds of Batista agents, police, soldiers, took over an agrarian reform law, in other words, expropriating thousands and thousands of acres of farmland, the kind of stuff and companies and businesses that Rafael Diaz was saying his father had. The government took over. And by 1960, he had an agreement with the Soviets, full communist, 90 miles from our shore. And then they did what they do in such dictatorial, communist, Marxist-type governments. They do what really the FBI suggested the other day in a Twitter sent out. I told you about that yesterday. The FBI said basically, they referred to a document they originally had put out, referenced terrorist 9/11, but they redone it because of January 6th, quote, insurrection, which is a lie. It was wrong. It shouldn't have happened. It was not a patriotic thing to do, but it was not an insurrection to overthrow the government. But the FBI is now encouraging people to call us, give us a tip if you see something in your neighborhood, your neighbor, a member of your family. And Senator Cruz said the communists do that too. They ask them to report their parents. And Rafael Diaz says it was not uncommon to have a knock on the door, if there were a knock on the door, as opposed to just breaking through early in the morning.
What they do is they watch everything. What you bring into your house, what you don't bring into your house, who you're hanging around with, and they report you if you do anything that's not according to their laws. And then you always get used up to the military with their machine guns. Sometimes at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, we would hear this bang on our doors, and I remember I would get up and I'm like, go back to bed, go back to bed, go back to bed. And they would be in there with machine guns checking all our drawers, our house, to see what we had.
Yeah, to see what we had. So that's how the spies in the neighborhood would alert the authorities, and I'll probably get a reward of some type. And then they would show up, as he said, sometimes in the middle of the night, the middle of the early morning, at your door.
Every month, they check out what you get, and that's all you get. You don't get any more or any less. So if today you want to go buy you a steak, you don't get a steak. Sometimes I could barter. We would barter with people to get like extra clothes or extra things. We were able to do that. But, you know, that was always at a cost and a price. You could end up in jail for that, you know, which my father was in jail many times. I remember one time was for having too much fruit in the house because he had boxes of fruit because he had a business. They would put him in jail, and I said, where's Dad? Mama said, oh, don't worry. He'll be here later on.
Yeah, and eventually he would be released, and to the point where they could finally leave Cuba. But this group that's going on right now, these protests have been happening. There are more than 60 folks that are missing that they know of. 20 different localities across Cuba, these demonstrations were taking place, and they were chanting, freedom, down with communism, and other anti-regime slogans, not shouting out, we need COVID meds, which is what the White House would have you believe. And they do need it because they've only got 15% of their 11 million vaccinated anyway, but if they want to take the shot. But then Diaz and his family, as he said, we finally got out. We actually were able to get on a plane and fly out. And when we got to America, the land of milk and honey.
I remember when we landed in America. Where we landed, there was a 7-Eleven. Well, when we all looked, I almost want to go into tears with this. I have never seen so much food in my life in a 7-Eleven. And I remember the lady says, that's nothing. Just wait till you see a supermarket. You can do whatever you want in this country. If you want to work 24 hours a day and become a millionaire, you can. You can go to school. You can go trade school. You can go to college. You can. There's just no limits. And you can do what you desire.
What you desire. That's what this country is founded upon. That is why we are a beacon to the rest of the world. And the other issue is, of course, if we don't have America, is there any other refuge for those who need refuge? Well, again, in the words of Rafael Diaz.
If America started doing like Cuba, taking everything away, my rights, my desires away, what I want to do, where would I go? Where can I go? Where else could I go but outside of America? I just thank God that my parents were Christian people that believed in a godly way of life. My grandfather always said that communism would only last in America 24 hours. He says, because we will have such a war in America. He says, half the country will overturn. But Americans need to just realize what's going on.
They certainly do. And they need to realize how good we have it. All of these young people on the streets and talking about this country is wrong, it's systemic, it's this and that. Why don't you go live in some of these other countries for just 5 years and really know what's out there? Then you come back. And by the way, if you're LGBT, you go to some of the countries off with your head when you arrive. We come back. I want to replay a part of a speech Ronald Reagan gave in 1985 about the struggle we faced in 1985, and his words ring just as true today. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Today, we're engaged in a great struggle to determine whether a world can exist half slave and half free. Under the pressure of this struggle, there are those who say we can no longer afford our traditional freedom. We must turn to government for the answers to all the problems of human need. That an intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan for us better than we can plan for ourselves. And in this way only can we be secure. But those who would trade freedom for security deserve neither. Let us meet the challenge voiced by Abraham Lincoln. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. We here hold the power and bear the responsibility. We shall nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of man on earth.
The words of Ronald Reagan in 1985. Said, we are the last best hope of man. And he was quoting Lincoln, and we'll come back to part of that speech in a moment. Are we that far from what we were then? No. And in fact, I would say we are worse. We had political parties and battling back and forth. That was understandable. Don't have an issue with that at that time. I mean, that's the way politics is played. But neither party, and in particular the Democrats of that day, were not calling for a radical transformation of our government. Yes, they wanted to have more government programs. And in many cases, you can't say those programs weren't of value. The WPA, the Works Project, the Public Works Project that actually put people back to work after the Depression, you can't turn your back. There are some who will, and I know from some of my conservative listeners and even independents saying, oh, Larry, you are too liberal now. Well, listen, first of all, in this program, I don't classify my program as conservative. I classify it patriotic, 100% patriotic. Yes, there will be mainly conservative views and thoughts that I support. Yes, many independent views. And yes, some liberal thoughts that I say I can accept that. And I'm certainly 100% in a stand with Israel. And this nation should stay that way. But yes, we have had, before these Democrats of today, we had those in the past that were maybe, quote, pushing us to some socialism, and in fact did, as time went on. But they were not trying to do it the way it's happening now, to disregard the Constitution, to pack the court, to cheat in elections and not have a problem with it and have problems and concerns and issues simply because we want to verify you are who you are. They want to hearken back and say, well, you're trying to impose Jim Crow laws on us, when in fact it was their party that put Jim Crow laws into effect. And, of course, there's that quote that in sometimes has always been attributed to Henry Ford, the entrepreneur and founder of the Ford Motor Company, which some say is not really his quote, but the meaning is clear. And it echoes what Reagan was just saying. Any man who thinks he can be prosperous by letting the government take care of him better take a closer look at the American Indian. Once again, back to Reagan on a speech in 1985.
The other day, in the East Room of the White House, at a meeting there, someone asked me whether I was aware of all the people out there who were praying for the president. And I had to say, yes, I am. I felt it. I believe in intercessionary prayer. But I couldn't help but say to that questioner, after he'd asked the question, that, or at least say to them, that if sometimes when he was praying, he got a busy signal, it was just me in there ahead of him. I think I understand how Abraham Lincoln felt when he said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go.
Nowhere else to go. And some of the remarks he used in 85 were some of the same ones he used in 64 in a speech that made him famous, television appeal on behalf of Republican presidential candidate Barry Goldwater in 64. I was already politically involved. I'm living in Texas. LBJ is a Texan. I was for Barry Goldwater. You don't think I got some, I was ostracized some in my school and around, but that's where I stood. And the final words Reagan repeated that he did use in inauguration as governor of California, if not us, who? If not now, when? So I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.